Thanks to all of you who have come out this evening to this gospel meeting. It is a very beautiful spring day. I don't know if it's quite spring yet, but if it's not today, it's in the next day or two. And sometimes it's easier to do other things, but you're here this evening, so thank you very much for coming. And you couldn't be in a better place. Not because of who is speaking. Well, maybe you'd come for Norman. But to hear the sound of the gospel, not to listen to the voice of men, but to hear the gospel of God presented. There's lots of messages in the world. There's lots of things that are being broadcast around. But I can tell you there's nothing better than what you will hear tonight. Now again, it's not my message. We are just trying to relay to you the message of the gospel. God and His love and offering you the forgiveness of sins. So thank you very much for coming. And the gospel, Lord willing, will be preached again here next Sunday evening at the same time at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow evening is youth group for the younger in heart. That'll be at 6:30. And then on Thursday night is prayer meeting and Bible study. Before we open the Word of God, we're going to speak to Him in prayer. We'll speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee that there is a message that can be preached concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and how He has come into this world. And He has borne the punishment for our sin. And so tonight, the forgiveness of sin is offered to all under the sound of her voice. And indeed, it goes even outside these walls to the all across the island, across the world. And so we pray that the gospel would be blessed in every place. Remember them as they begin tonight in Pope Road and give help there as well as other places as well. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to read in Mark chapter 2. This is a fairly well-known story. Most here would know this story. But if you don't know this story, we're just going to learn some things in this story that apply to you and I. And though this story took place 2,000 years ago, there are some lessons in it for you here this evening. So Mark chapter 2 and reading at verse number 1. And again he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it went around that Jesus was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, a paralyzed man, which was carried by four men. And when they could not come nigh, they couldn't come near to Jesus because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, he said to the paralyzed man, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That is a strange thing to say to a paralyzed man. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and they reasoned, they were thinking in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, or what is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And what do you think happened? And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. We never saw it on this fashion. The Lord will bless the reading of his word, and trust that he'll help in the first part of the meeting. Here's a man. This would be quite an event. This story took place in a house, and they understood that this man, Jesus, who had been making a bit of a stir, he was in this house, and it had attracted. Can you imagine if this room was just packed full? In fact, so full that nobody could come in the door. Well, that is what took place. The Lord Jesus is there, he's speaking, and the place is packed. And there is a man who is paralyzed, and his four friends hear that Jesus is there, and they say, this man needs to see Jesus. And when they couldn't get in, they climbed on the roof and they started. Now, it's not quite constructed quite like this. But all of a sudden, maybe the dirt would start to come from the ceiling and the hole would be opened up. And they lower this man in his bed right in front of Jesus. If you use your imagination, we'd be a little bit shocked if that happened. Some of us might be a little bit upset. Andrew likely for sure would be upset, because there was quite a bit of time spent in this. But here was four people. They weren't going to stop until this man saw the Lord Jesus. Well, as the Lord Jesus looks, and everybody else is looking, and everybody is looking, they say, what's going on here? And Jesus looks at the man. I'm going to ask you a question. What did that man need more than anything else? What was his greatest need? We had an assembly at work the other day, and our general manager, he told us that he is heading, I think it was Moncton, he was waiting for a call, and because of an accident, he is paralyzed. And he has tried many different medical interventions, and there's a medical intervention that he is going to try. Because more than anything else, he would love to be able to walk again. And so here's a man. He's paralyzed. And he's in front of the Lord Jesus. If I was to take, if this is a Sunday school class or a children's meeting, I'd say, what is a man's need? What is a man's biggest need? And I might say, is it money? And the children say, no, it's not money. Does he need a new pet? And they say, no, what does this man need? And to the crowd, they said, this man needs to be healed. Can you imagine the amazement when the Lord Jesus says to this man, son, your sins are forgiven. And almost picture the whole building going quiet. And then there's a little buzz that starts. People start to talk. Who is this man? Nobody can forgive sins but God. Well, here tonight, here's the first thing I want to bring out. Here's a man, and it is obvious that he has a physical condition. And yet, what is his greatest need? Can I take and ask you as my audience tonight, what is your greatest need? Maybe you say, well, I'm not paralyzed. I don't know what my greatest need is. Well, can I tell you, the Lord Jesus knew what this man's greatest need was. And maybe you came here tonight and you're thinking, I'm here, I'm listening to another gospel meeting. I'm only here because my parents want me here. I'm listening to another gospel meeting. Tonight, your greatest need is the same as this man. And though his physical need was serious, and it was important to his friends, his greatest need was the need of his sins, and so is yours. This didn't take the Lord Jesus by surprise, you know. The Lord Jesus knew this was going to happen. And he was like, he would be waiting. And as this man was being lowered down, the Lord Jesus could describe, knew everything about this man. And he addressed his greatest need. He says, son, your sins be forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You know what your greatest need is tonight? It is not a better job. You know, there are some here, and their future is a little bit uncertain. And until the water goes and they bring up the cages, they're just not sure how things are going to go. And maybe that is a pressing need, but there is a far greater need tonight. If you're here without Christ, it is the need of your sins forgiven. And there here are some religious people, and they start to talk and say, who is this man? How can he forgive sins? Nobody can forgive sins but God. And they actually were right. They weren't right in most of their theology. They weren't right in most of their religion, but they knew that much. There was only God who could forgive sins. And can I just say this? Regardless of where you might meet regularly, the only one who can forgive your sins is God. No preacher, no priest, nobody on earth except the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what those people missed? This one who was in their midst, this man who looked at the paralyzed man who said, your sins be forgiven. This was God in flesh. Luke Bartlett was mentioning that to us over at the Willows this evening. Do you realize that from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, he stepped into this earth, born as a baby, and the one who created all of the world, walked the dusty streets of Israel. And this one who says your sins be forgiven is actually the one who created heaven and earth, the Lord from heaven. And so he says, why are you reasoning? Why are you disputing this? And here's the second question. They're all in a buzz. Who can forgive sins? Likely they expected him, the Lord Jesus, to tell a man to be healed. They had found fault with the Lord Jesus on other occasions. Imagine doing that on the Sabbath day, on the Saturday, the Jewish holiday of the week. And they got up in arms. They got upset with the Lord Jesus on other times because he healed on the Sabbath day. And he says to them, what do you think is easier to say? And I want you to think tonight, because I'm going to ask you the same question. He says to them, what would be easier to say? To this man, rise up and walk? Or your sins be forgiven? That is a bit of an interesting question. What would be easier to say? What would be easier to carry out? Luckily, they started to think. I don't know if they come up with the answer. But for the Lord Jesus, and he is going to do it, he says, I am going to heal this man so that you'll understand the other part of it. He said, just so that you can understand that not only can the Son of Man heal physically, but the Son of Man can forgive sins. And he says, just so that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the man who is sick, rise up and walk. Now, what would be easier for the Lord Jesus to do? Here's the one who created the world by the word of his power. And just by simply speaking, when the Lord Jesus tells him to rise up and walk, he stands up and he walks. But you know what was necessary for sins to be forgiven? You see, there would be a day that would come when the Lord Jesus Christ would go to Calvary's cross, when just outside Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus would be taken and nailed on a cross, and he would bear punishment for sin. And that's what needed to happen for sin to be forgiven. With our Bible class, we have been getting ready to go through the life of the Lord Jesus, and we have picked out some examples from the Old Testament where God promised that the day was going to come when there was one who would bear the sin of the world. Have it in Genesis chapter 3. Noah's Ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus bearing judgment. Abraham and Isaac, there are many, many pictures that God gives in the Old Testament that one day would be carried out when the Lord Jesus himself would die in the sinner's place. And in order for the Lord Jesus to say that, he was going to have to go to the cross. Now tonight the message is the same. Your sins tonight, they can be forgiven. Now, as I was thinking of the last thing I want to mention, I never really thought of this before. That man, as he came in his condition, he could do nothing. And it wasn't until his sins were forgiven that the change became evident on the outside. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you have been struggling with this being saved. And maybe you're thinking, I need to clean myself up. I've got to do some. There's got to be something that I can do. You know what? This man could not do anything until his sins were forgiven. You know what the Lord Jesus, he's not looking for you to clean up your life. He is looking for you to admit your guilt as a sinner and to trust on what he has done at Calvary. That is the message of the gospel. You and I, we are born in our sins. We are guilty before God. We owe a debt that we can't pay. We sang that at the Willows this evening. That we owe a debt that we can't pay. He paid a debt that he could not owe. You know, my son and I have a business, and we owed quite a sum of money to another business. It was all mutually agreed. And the day came just a couple of months ago when we had that, we were able to say, here is the payment. We sang here tonight, will you come with your poor, broken heart, burdened and a sin oppressed. You know what? You could have come in this meeting in your sins, facing the judgment of God. Tonight you could leave knowing your sins forgiven because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has power on earth to forgive sins. There's no other way for your sins to be forgiven. There's no other way to heaven. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby or through who we can be saved." The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the only way. John 14 and 6 says, the Lord Jesus was speaking. He says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father. No man can approach to God but by me." That is the words of the Lord Jesus, the ultimate authority on earth. This story, you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. That was true 2,000 years ago. It is true tonight. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight you could be saved. Your sins could be forgiven. Like the man in our story, he left physically healed. Tonight you could leave spiritually cleansed. New life. Knowing your sins are forgiven, we trust that it will be so even tonight.